GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. George on vacation in Florida, Miles Thieme, and our guest co-host behind the BPG and SS7A. Miles, I introduce to you State Senator Lisa Keim, the Republican of Oxford. She's on line three to talk with us this morning on GHRT. Good morning, Senator. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on the show.
We had quite a discussion this morning over LD 1703. In fact, Miles and I had a debate over even our question of the day and how it was worded, and many listeners got involved with it and what it might mean for parents or even for students who are transgender or not transgender that might see someone else of, I guess, another gender or another gender of choice. It's confusing, but they might be playing the same sport. What was your take on LD 1703 and what it might do to the equality of athletics in schools in Maine?
Right. So LD 1703 is basically a further delineation of laws that we passed in 2005 and 2009. What it does is it crystallizes an extreme interpretation of Maine's non-discrimination laws. So basically it's spelling it out more clearly that there is an extension of gender identity as a protected class within the educational setting, which also extends to sports. So currently that is law, but it isn't spelled out so clearly. And the Maine Principals Association has a transgender policy. And it states that all students should have the opportunity to participate in MPA activities in a manner that is consistent with their gender identity, unless such participation would result in an unfair athletic advantage or would present an unacceptable risk of injury to other student athletes. So basically, though, with this law, that their policy is really subject to becoming a court case, as we see in Connecticut, because Connecticut has almost our identical non-discrimination language. And in Connecticut, there are two transgender athletes that have taken the spots from female athletes in the sport of track. And so you have a couple of young girls who have probably trained their whole lives and are looking to, you know, probably get college scholarships and a lot of opportunities later on. And then, you know, if a genetic boy who identifies female gets on that team, they just are better able to, you know, they're going to have that advantage. So this is a problem that, you know, I brought up and I said, it's our job to deal with this. I don't think anyone in 2005 really understood what could happen with this law. Because, of course, all Maine people want there to be equality for everyone. But then when it comes to this issue where you have sort of competing interests on what equal rights are, I think that's the legislator's job to step in and help clarify and not leave it to really our most vulnerable in society to take something to court. I mean, who wants to see a school or a sports team and student athletes torn apart in a court battle in Maine?
I want to share a point that Miles made this morning in our discussion. And Miles, you brought up and you wondered if this was a solution looking for a problem in our state. I countered that, well, it's happening in Connecticut and maybe Maine wants to get ahead of this. But within 1703, the interpretation that we understand is that the MPA's ability to make a decision as to whether or not someone who identifies as transgender can participate in such a sport. They still have that authority, but LD 1703 either puts that authority in question or maybe strips it away. Can you clarify that for us?
It definitely puts it in question. Strips it away would be a court battle.
Court battle either way, right? Whether it's Connecticut or Maine.
Unless we as a state legislature said, we agree with the Maine Principals Association policy, and we write it into law. And then it becomes very clear, because obviously the law is superior to a policy, and it becomes very clear then that there would be no grounds for a court case in Maine.
talking with State Senator Lisa Kime, the Republican of Oxford. Now, as we read some accounts of LD 1703, and maybe you can clarify this for us, it's our understanding that, and Miles accurately points out, this seems to fall upon party lines. Republicans wanted to address the student gender equity in athletics issue, but Democrats did not want to address that in 1703. How are we doing?
Right. And that's pretty accurate. Although, I mean, obviously this becomes a problem in a broader scope than just athletics, because it's also going to, for instance, be a problem in homeless shelters. If you have a woman's homeless shelter, and a lot of times those women are abused, they have trauma. If in walks a transgender that looks very much like a man to them, they feel unsafe and insecure. And so this policy could mean that they may not be able to make that distinction. And there is, again, a court case in Alaska over that same thing. And I will point out that this bill, 1703, passed the House and the Senate already last session, and the governor held the bill back because these same anti-discrimination laws were being applied to public properties, and that could have included jails and prisons. And so that would have been problematic, right? And there, you know, the governor's office saw that and they said, nope, we have to remove the public entity, the public entity portion of this bill. So that was removed in order to safeguard our policies that we have in jails and prisons already in place. So I think that if we're willing, on one hand, to say, you know, this could be a problem in the sphere of jails and prisons, then obviously we should also say, well, this could also be a problem in sports or in homeless shelters or, you know, you name it.
Senator, I still don't understand why legislating it eliminates the possibility of lawsuits as opposed to the MPA's policy and the distinction between policy.
I believe and law. It would give legislative intent. It would clarify. I think the main principles association is very clear, and I think that our policy right now is unclear. And I would assume that with the main principles association policy, it kind of defines how they're going to judge the fitness of a person to participate in the sport, you know, which, where they belong, based on sort of a fairness issue. So I think it is much more clear than the current law is.
Hmm. It's talking with State Senator Lisa Kime, the Republican of Oxford. Where is LD 1703 now?
It's tabled in the House and it's up for final enactment. They probably will vote on it today. That was the plan, at least last week, but you never know when someone might, you know, when it might just stay tabled or get pulled up. And I mean, yeah, so that's where it is. There's another issue with this bill too. I don't know if we have time, but the other issue was that it removes exemptions for any religious organization if they receive public funding.
We'd seen that note
in this bill.
Yeah, we'd seen that note. Maybe you could just give us a quick primer on that one and what 1703 would do for concerning religious organizations.
Great. Well, again, it's a further delineation of current law, but what it says is that any religious organization that receives public funding doesn't have an exemption from the non-discrimination laws. So we have a lot of religious organizations in Maine that partner with the state or with the federal government. So they do receive public funds. The easiest one for everyone to sort of understand is Catholic Charities of Maine. So basically that would be saying that if they receive public funding, then they're not allowed their religious exemptions, which, you know, there was just a Supreme Court case, the Trinity Lutheran case, that those types of policies were proven unconstitutional because you cannot discriminate based on someone's religious beliefs. So again, another issue in this bill that I believe legislators should have taken hold of and said, okay, let's fix this, let's get it right, you know, and not leave it to Maine people to battle this out or our religious organizations that are out there doing, you know, public good work.
Is Is it troubling at all to you that once again we have a bill that split along party lines as opposed to people making common sense decisions regardless of their political label?
It is troubling to me. And, you know, part of it, as I chat with people about this, sort of out in the real world, you know, Mainers don't really want to talk about this stuff. It's sticky. It's uncomfortable. You know, we want to talk about when is it time to plant the peas or, you know, how well is the sap running this year. But these are issues that I think we have to take on, and it's our job to do so. And just because we don't have enough power in the State House right now to force the issue to be discussed, I think everyone should recognize that it needs to be, because there is concern out there that doesn't go on party lines.
I wonder what the likelihood, now that this is stuck between the House and the Senate, it's got to go to conference. Any hunches to how the governor feels about LD 1703?
Well, she already sent it back to be fixed. As I said, the public entities were removed, and now it's clear sailing, and there should be no stopping it, because again, it already passed last session. So the only thing is that the governor's office held it up to take out the public entities portion. So there's no reason for it not to pass again. And it was a party line vote last session as well. All of the Democrats voted for it and all the Republicans voted against it.
And maybe you can answer one listener's question for us. And this is something that we expressed this morning. I expressed this morning. A listener asks us to ask you this. Why would not every lawmaker in Augusta want to iron this out before passing it and avoid a lawsuit like they're seeing in Connecticut? Why not take the time now to fix this?
That was the question that I asked on the floor of the Senate in my speech, and no one answered me.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.